It's our prayer. Father, we thank you that you are present whether we feel it or not. Father, I pray you bless this time. Sanctify our ears, Lord. Bless our hearts. Amen. So I'm guessing you've all watched the film Shirley Valentine. And there's that famous bit where she talks to the wall. Well, I've been talking to the tree in my garden. There are certain advantages in talking to a tree as opposed to a wall. It's far more interesting to look at, ladies. And my tree talks back to me. So the conversation went a little like this. My acting can be a little wooden, so I'm going to try and hold this up when I'm speaking for the tree. Hello. Hello. My name is Paul Tullett. My name is Treebeard. You're an apple tree. No, I'm a pear tree. I see some apples at your feet. I'm a pear tree. I see some apples on your branches. I'm a pear tree. Try as I could not persuade this tree that it was an apple tree. Apologies if my acting was a little wooden. Sorry, at least one person found that funny. hopefully, it will be, if it's not already obvious, hopefully that illustration will mean something by the end. Today, I want to encourage you to think about obedience. Is it important that we obey God? Is it necessary for salvation? I'm just going to take you through the book, verse by verse. Verse 17 reminds me of an encounter at Ridley Hall, and the lecturer was saying that we see good and evil in the world. And then he said, and my jaw was on the ground, he said, which means there must be good and evil in God. And I heard someone say, no, it was me. Have you ever had that experience where you speak out? And of course, in God, he does not change. There is no darkness in God. There is no evil in God. He does not entice his people to sin. There's no possibility of that. Verse 18. We all become Christians through hearing the gospel, the word of truth. But notice he brought us into being. A reminder once again that he enables us to believe in him. 19 and 20, some wise words there, isn't there? And of course, to hear the word, to believe in it, we've first got to listen, haven't we? And also, don't we know that anger closes the mind? You can't hear any truth, never mind whether it's from God or anybody else or from a spouse. You cannot hear if you're angry. Verse 21. These people he writes to have already received it. It's already been planted in your hearts. It's already been planted in your hearts. James is calling for an appropriation of the truth. He is calling them to mature as Christians. Verses 22 to 24. It's not enough to hear the gospel. It's not enough to hear the gospel and accept it as true. We must do what it says, mustn't we? I read this from one commentator. If they do not combine doing with hearing, they put themselves in a vulnerable position. The purpose of listening to the truth is to act upon it. I believe many Christians get this wrong. And don't they pierce themselves with much grief, and the cycle continues. It's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. 25. The person who listens and puts what they hear into practice is blessed indeed. And don't reflect on that for a moment. Isn't there a certain joy in obedience? Isn't there peace and contentment, joy, as we walk in obedience toward God? And then there's a lot we could say about every verse, but he warns us not to be polluted by the world, by Satan. And how the world and Satan looks to pollute the church. And we see that now, I believe. So I'm just going to draw out some points now to finish. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's what was in our reading today. Elsewhere, he says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Elsewhere, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What is James saying? He is saying that faith without works, obedience being a work, he is actually saying that such a person is not saved. I believe. Some have argued that James should not have been included in the canon of Scripture. For this reason, because we are saved by grace alone, aren't we? But I do not believe that James is contesting this great truth. He is, I believe, saying this, that a person who has genuine faith will demonstrate it. As an apple tree produces apples, fruit in keeping, the Christian produces fruit in keeping with their Christian faith, obedience. So we haven't been saved by good works, but our good works are a demonstration that our faith is genuine. You see the difference? To reinforce the point, actions speak louder than words. Jesus says this. This is from Matthew's Gospel. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus hasn't saved us to do what we want, to live as we please. It is not enough to call Jesus Lord. We must act like he is our Lord. The Christian lives to do the will of the Father. Not something else. Not your spouse. Not yourself. Not some other idol. But God Almighty. As a happy coincidence, or maybe a God incidence, I found myself reading the book of Jude. It's a fairly short book, so don't sing my praises too highly in the week. But he had been planning to write to his friends about salvation. But he felt compelled to write about something else in his letter. Why? Because some ungodly people had wormed their way into the churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows you to live immoral lives. James warns against that. He says, stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. Stay within the boundaries. Stay within what is acceptable to God. Be obedient to God. My next point. So what should we expect from the Christian? Well, Jesus tells us in John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become more fruitful. So you've got the picture. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. You are a branch on the vine. The person who bears no fruit is cut off, is removed. The person who does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? To make it more fruitful. So I think what we are looking for in the Christian walk is greater obedience. That, for me, is the most powerful demonstration that someone is a Christian. I can't see if someone's a Christian, can I? I can't see if they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. But if someone is acting like they're being sanctified, then that is clear, isn't it? Greater obedience. And then my last point, naming the elephant in the room, perhaps, all of us are at times disobedient. Perhaps willfully disobedient. And then I quote from Galatians now, and Paul. We Jewish Christians know very well that we cannot become right with God by obeying our Jewish laws, only by faith in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we give thanks to Jesus, who did obey the Jewish laws, who did live the perfect life of obedience, even to death, and by his blood he has brought us forgiveness. And we know him, don't we? Isn't it wonderful? We know him as friend and brother, but we also know him as Lord and Master and God. If he's your Lord, then he's Lord. And that means we walk in obedience to him, not ourselves, not some other. And of course, when we mess up, we repent, we know forgiveness. And that, I guess, is our walk now, isn't it, this side of eternity? You know, it's one of the reasons I look forward to being the other side of eternity, because at the moment, I walk in obedience, but also sin, so I have to repent. And as I have preached many times, we don't walk alone, do we? We have God the Holy Spirit helping us to walk and to grow in greater obedience. So let me say this. Let us look to walk well as a demonstration that we are amongst the chosen, that our faith is not dead, that Jesus really is our Lord. Amen.